Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
If you would, just pray in your own way. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for your spirit that I feel here tonight, Lord, and the way that you've moved service after service. We ask you, Lord, tonight to raise us up to be better soldiers and servants, Lord, that could be humbled down to be useful to your will, Lord. I'm asking you right now tonight to let no man, woman, or child not to glean something from the word, Lord. And I'm asking you to just take what we have to give you, Lord, and mold it into something that you can use. And I'm just giving you all thanks, glory, and honor. I'm asking you to remove me out of the way. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Tonight, we're going to be reading out of Acts chapter 10. And it's going to be a whole lot of reading and probably not a whole lot of preaching because I'm very incapable. The only way I'm capable is through the Lord. But as I've preached this before and heard it preached before, and it's a very familiar text, that God lines up Cornelius and Peter, and I thank God for that because that's where the birth of the Gentile bride was, so I thank God for this opportunity. But as Pastor John asked me to give a word, and I was praying and seeking the Lord, this is where he put me at. And it's not that this is where the Gentile bride come from, that this is where the church is today. And if we look at the people that's in this text here, each and every one of us is in a part of one of these people and in a position that they was in at this given time. So if you would, follow with me tonight. Verse 1, chapter 10. And there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, and which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him, saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up to a memorial before God. And that's where we're at tonight. Every one of us, when we're crying out to God, when we're praying, and when there's something on us that we've got enough to fast over, as we'll read here in just a few moments. But he was fasting, he was praying, and he knew there was something more. And he knew, believed that Jesus Christ died for his sin, but he had never had an encounter with him. He had never had a one-on-one encounter. All he was doing was going through the right motions. And I'd say if we reflect on ourselves tonight at some point in time, if you're not in that position right now, at some point in time in your life, you was going through the motions, doing the right thing. You was sitting there, you was praying, you was paying tithes, you was giving alms, you was doing the right thing, but you hadn't had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that that's you tonight, but I'm saying at some point in time that's been your life, been who you are, and it might be you tonight. But as we go through this text, I'd ask you to just pay attention to where each and every person is and where they're standing at and where you're sitting at tonight. And verse 5 says, And now send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. And if you went back about a chapter and read, the reason that Simon and Peter ended up in Joppa was God sent him there to pray for Tabitha, which I like humor, and if you interpret her name, it's Dorcas. So I have a hard time not thinking about that story without thinking of him raising Dorcas from the dead. But God sent Peter there. Jesus Christ made Peter the rock on which he was going to build his church. And Jesus Christ sent Peter to Tabitha to raise her from the dead. And while he was there, there was somebody that ministered unto Peter. And it said, And when the angel spake unto Cornelius, was departed. I'm sorry, verse 6. And he lodgeth one Simon the tanner, whose house was built by the seaside. And he shall tell thee where thou oughtest to do. And when the angel spake unto Cornelius, was departed. And he called to the household and the servants, and devoted soldier of them that waited on him continually. Now God told him, he said, travel 40 miles up the coast to Joppa. Send your men up there and go see him. That's just as good as TomTom directions today. I don't know if anybody's ever been around a tannery, but it stinks. It's where they're separating hair and flesh and preserving leather. And he said, go up the coast. When you get there, you'll smell it when you get there. And what happened was Peter was in Joppa. He'd been there doing God's work. He'd raised Tabitha from the dead through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Simon Tanner said, hey, I've got a place that you can stay. I know you have nothing to stay. I'm skinning these sheep and goats every day, and I'm preserving their hides, so I've got plenty to eat. Come on to my house. And that's where we need to be at in the body of Christ today, is we see people that's needing help. We see people that's the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We see the ones that's out there that's put themselves out to serve the Lord, and sometimes they need us to give them a place to live. Sometimes they need us to give them food. Sometimes they need us to drive them to church. Sometimes if there's people out there that God needs us to be insignificant, just to be the man that's mentioned that Peter's staying with him for right now. But that's where God needs most of his people at, to be insignificant enough to be useful. And as Cornelius said, he sent two servants and a soldier. If you take the significance of that, the servants was used to carrying out daily duties for Cornelius, and the soldier was used to doing whatever it took by forcing, if necessary, to get a task done. So that's what God's asking for us to do. He's not asking us to rough anybody up, but he's asking us to be humble enough to be servants unto him, to humble ourselves down to where we can be useful for him. And a soldier, you never see a soldier turn around and run. They'll stand their ground until the bitter end. And that's what God's asking for us tonight, is for us to stand our ground, to stand on the word of God. And I feel like as a Pastor John's been preaching for the last couple of weeks about a callous heart, and Sister Shannon's been preaching the other night about our burdens and how we're not humbling ourselves down and how we feel conviction, but we're not doing anything about it. That's where God's got us at tonight. That there's so many different places that we're sitting at in the church tonight, but we're not being 100%. We're not being abundantly used through his grace and mercy. We're not letting God use us the way he'd have us to be used as a body. In verse 8, and when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city of Peter, went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while he was made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at all four corners and let down to the earth. And wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air. Now, Peter's been praying all day, and he hadn't eaten. And it's lunchtime. It's 12 o'clock. And I know when I've made it to 12 o'clock and I haven't ate today, I'm ready to eat too. Now, while he wasn't fasting like Cornelius, he had been a little bit without eating. And as the Jews' customs was that he couldn't eat unclean things, and God showed him in this vision. And is this right here, it shows that what God cleans, no man can condemn. But also, I thank God for this vision, because now I can serve Jesus Christ and eat pork chops and bacon. And I can't eat shrimp anymore, but I can eat alligator tail if I want to. But I thank God for this vision that come to him. And there became a voice, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Lord, so, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spoke unto him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, thou call not common." And this was done thrice, and the vessel was received up to heaven again. Now, while Peter doubted himself what the vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry with Simon's house, and they stood before the gate. Now, what I'd like to say is, Peter's was with Jesus. He walked and talked with him and lived with him every day of his ministry. Peter's raised from the dead. Jesus told him, "I'm going to build the church on top of you. You're going to be the foundation that it's going to build off of." And while he was doing God's work, he was still carrying around his own religion. He is still carrying around his own ways. And I think tonight, if we all examine ourselves very closely, there's something that's been preached into us, or something that we grew up in, that there's religion that's keeping us from serving God to our fullest potential, keeping us from being useful vessels, useful soldiers, useful servants. There's something that we've got that we're carrying around with us, burdens that Sister Shannon was talking about the other night, that we've got that's keeping us from being useful members of the body of Christ. And, I grew up in the pretty traditional church that if you can get somebody to church with one hot dog, some devil can get them out of church with two. And I've heard it preached. But we need to be useful to the environment that we're in. The environment's changed. Things that was acceptable in the world 30 years ago are now, or was unacceptable in the world 30 years ago, are acceptable in churches today. And I'm not saying to lose our word of God. I'm not saying to step away from what this book that's anointed is telling us to do. But I'm telling us that we've got to be more useful tools. So often it's easy for us to turn our back on our witness because you don't want to deal with somebody. Somebody's very offensive. Somebody's very vulgar. Somebody that you don't want to have anything to do. And we're not being useful. We're using our religion and hiding behind it instead of being useful tools to Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. In verse 18, and they asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodgeth there. And Peter thought on the vision, and in the spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Now, it's pretty easy when the Holy Spirit lays something on you to be a witness to somebody. And a lot of times, whether you're in the store or whether you're somewhere, you find a way not to do what God's asking you to do. It'd have been very easy right here for Peter to have said, I ain't doing it, God. I'm not going over there with those common people. I'm not taking a two-day trip walking to go see somebody. When was the last time you stood up and said, hey, I'm going to walk to Evansville to go witness to somebody? Me, never. I have a hard time going across Walmart to talk to somebody I know that's struggling. But God put these people here. He gave them Tom directions to get there. He told Peter when they got there exactly what he was going to do with them. And here they go. And Peter went down, which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, behold, I am he who you seek. What is the cause wherefore you come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one that feareth God, and a good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God, the holy angel, and sent unto thee, unto this house, and hear words of thee. Then called them into he, and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them. And a certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Now, if you read on in the next chapter, there were six men there that went with him. And if you read on farther through the book of Bible, seven men, the Holy Ghost is what's supposed to be over a church. And that's what, filled with the Holy Ghost, was supposed to be over the church. And that's what happened. There were six men that went with Peter. And Peter, which was full of the Holy Ghost, said, I'm going here to do God's work. But these six men said, I ain't letting him go by himself because he might need help when he gets there. He might have more work than he can do when he gets there. And when there's a man of God that's doing the work of God, you might not be the one sitting behind the microphone or behind this podium or the one singing praises, but there needs to be work that's done behind the scenes. There needs to be somebody there supporting him, exhorting him, praying for him, seeing to needs. So if you don't have an active ministry in your life, God's got an active ministry for you. You just have to fall into it and obey his word, just like these men. They's never mentioned after the next chapter. You don't know who they was. But God had a place for them, and the place was starting the church through the Gentile bride, which is what we are today. Just because I've got a nose like I might be of Jewish descent, I'm 100% Gentile, I promise you. And then they called unto him and lodged with him the morrow. And Peter went away with him to a certain brethren from Joppa and accompanied him. And on the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, Cornelius waited for them, and he called together his kinsmen and his near friends. Now, I can say that there's people here tonight that probably invited somebody to church today. And these kinsmen are the next people that I'm speaking of tonight that's in this, that's either you or somebody you've been. They had no desire to come to church. They had no desire to hear what Peter had to say. But there was a friend that had a burden for him. There was family that had a burden for him. And he called them and he beckoned them because he knew something was going to happen. He knew that God had took time out, had heard his prayers, had come to him and showed him in a vision that there was more to living than what he was doing right now. And there's more to living than what you're doing right now. He thought there was a new birth coming. And we should think that there's a new birth every time we come into church. We should be looking for another soul. We should be looking to have a heart for the lost. We should be calling our friends and family. If you was going to have a birthday party, you'd send an invitation to everybody in here because you're wanting a present. Well, the biggest present that could ever be is somebody's salvation, I promise you tonight. And Peter was coming into Cornelius to meet him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up and saying, stand up. Myself, I'm also a man. And I think it's very easy, and I've seen it in the past, and I've seen it in churches and other ministers, that a church will be on fire for God. God will be working in it. There will be healings. There will be salvations. There will be miracles. And the next thing you know, the pastor's got a big salary, and he's a little too puffed up to do his job anymore. And the people are saying, praise you, praise you. But Peter said, no, I'm a man just as you are. And that's where we've got to be careful at tonight, that we don't start worshiping the people that's doing God's work. We need to worship the spirit that's in them. It would be easy for me to worship these people on this same stage that sings praises because I have not a musical bone in my body. I have no rhythm. I have no tempo. I don't know tone. I don't know anything. But I'm not going to praise them. I'm going to praise the God they're singing to. I'm going to say, you know, I'm not supposed to covet, but I wish I had the abilities y'all had. But their anointing is no more important than your anointing. And my anointing is no more important than somebody else's anointing. God's got a perfect plan and a place to use you at and a ministry to use you at. And he's just asking you to be obedient. He's asking you to humble yourself down to where you can be used. And 27 says, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that is unlawful for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into another nation. But God has showed me not to call any man common or unclean. Now, I know if you think to yourself, I think of several individuals. God's hammered me on this all week, I promise you. There's several individuals that you've either witnessed to or helped time and time again. And just like a hog, they keep going back to the water they come out of. Just like a dog, they keep going back to the thing that made them sick. And you've wrote them off. You've quit reaching out to them. Most of the time, this is family. I have a whole lot easier time dealing with the loss that I don't know than I do dealing with the loss that I've dealt with for 20 years plus. But God's wanting you to keep going back to them. Nobody's unclean. Nobody's common. If you can't love them out of anything else, love them because Jesus Christ made them just like he made you. You're just as important. They're just as important as anybody in here. They're just as important as your children, just as important as your children's spouses. If you're praying for your children, you should be praying for them just like him. And therefore came I unto you with thanksgiving. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent. For I asked therefore, what intent ye have sent for me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and the ninth hour I prayed in the house. Behold, a man stood before me in bright clothes. And said Cornelius, thy prayers is heard, and thine alms are for remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges in the house of one Simon the tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee, and immediately I sent thee unto thou. Hast done well, and thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of thee, of God. And Peter opened his mouth and said, of truth, I perceive that God is not a respecter of person. Now, I've got more reading that I was going to do, but I know when God's done with me, and as the musicians and singers make their way up here, I'd like to speak to you tonight and to say that God's not a respecter of persons. It don't matter if you've been in church your whole life, if you've been a part of the church, if you've been a part of the youth group, if you've got a ministry in this church, if you have not had that one-on-one encounter with Jesus Christ, if you have not had that transforming of your mind in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, as it says, if you haven't transformed, you're just going through the motions just like Cornelius. Cornelius was the best Christian you could ask for. The pastor wishes he had a whole church few full of people that paid their tithes, prayed every day, showed up to every service, wanted to help, wanted to do the right things. But he wouldn't take one of them knowing that they is lost. I ask you to examine yourself tonight. Simon the Tanner, very insignificant man in the course of time. But he had a place to put a roof over somebody's head. He had the ability to feed somebody. Each and every person in here tonight has heard the word of God, has the ability to take a meal out and to feed somebody else with it, has the ability to provide the shelter of Jesus Christ to somebody else. Everybody in here has the opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ that nobody else will know about, but you'll make all the difference in the world to one person at some point in time. The third person tonight was the servants and the soldiers. They was just doing what they was told. And that's where you need to be at. That's where I need to be at. That's where all of us need to be. Be able to be humbled down for God to speak to us, for him to send us on a journey that seems pointless. Why would you walk 2 days to Evansville to see a guy and tell him to come back Why wouldn't you write a letter and just have him tell you what he needed to tell you? But we need to be obedient. Whatever God asks us to do, how insignificant. And this is a story that has no reference to this message whatsoever. But a friend of mine used to tell it very often. There was a man that could give his life to the Lord, and he was very athletic. And he was going into Kroger grocery store one day, and God told him to do a handstand on the Coca-Cola machine. And he kind of like laughed and went in. And he bought his groceries, and he came back out, and he looked at the Coca-Cola machine, and he laughed as he walked past it and put his groceries back in his truck. And as he's getting ready to drive off, God told him to do a handstand up against the Coca-Cola machine. And he got out of his truck, and he walked over there and did that. Flipped up, stood on his hands, flipped back down, started walking to his truck, and a woman pulled up in her car and said, "Sir, why did you do that?" He said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I saw you do the handstand up against the Coca-Cola machine. Why did you do that?" He said, "Well, I felt like God really needed me to do it. I don't know why I did it, but I just felt like I needed to." And she said, "I've been sitting in the parking lot for an hour with a loaded pistol going to blow my brains out. And I told God, if he is real, show me somebody do a handstand in front of that Coca-Cola machine." No matter how insignificant that something God lays on your heart or how silly something might seem, he's got a place for you. He's got a way to use you. And the Holy Spirit will lay and guide and direct you. And I ask you tonight, if you feel like you haven't been living to your potential, if you haven't been following the things that God's been asking you to do, how little of things there is in your life. Last week, Sister Shannon spoke a very good word about burdens that we carry around. And she said, "I know that there's conviction in the house. I know that there's things people's dealing with. But we see no evidence of them coming to the altar. We see no evidence. They just keep packing around these problems with them." And I'm asking you tonight that the altars are open, that there's people here to pray with you. And I promise you, out of these six people that was in this story, that you are one of them. The next person's Peter. God had anointed him to do great things. And I'm asking you tonight, God's anointed you to do great things. He's given you power and authority through his Spirit, through his shed blood. But you can't carry around your religious tendencies that you've been carrying around your life. You can't carry around the thing that somebody's not good enough for your time. A lot of times, we see people that struggle with drug addiction or alcoholism or even those that's abused their family members, and we've wrote them off. And God's looking for them just like he's looking for the kid in Sunday school. God's wanting them to fill his body because they've got a ministry to talk to people that you can't talk to. The fifth person was the men from Joppa. God needs men and women to step up to support the ministry. Those that'll follow, not wanting anything praised about them, just to be there to do God's will. And the last person is the kinsman. I'm asking you tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, if you come to church because somebody invited you, I'm asking you, tonight is the night to change your life for the rest of your life. Tonight's the night for you to be that useful member of the body. Tonight's the night for you to have the deliverance, to get rid of the burdens. And as the musicians and song leaders sing, I would ask for you to come to the altar. If you are any of these people here, if you've been doing great things for the church, if you've been involved in a ministry, but you're still holding on to things that's keeping you from being beneficial to God, I'm asking you to please come to the altars tonight. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd ask for you to come to the altars tonight. If you've never known, I ask for you to come. Or if you're just wanting to be more useful to the kingdom of God, I ask you to come. And as the singer sang, please come.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.